Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I love getting up in the morning. I clap my hands and say, this is going to be a great day.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
My agent, Bob Lamont, did a phenomenal job, along with Terry and Kim, of the communication that's needed in these situations to get things like this done. And then also just getting on the same page for where we were, how they saw me, and how I saw our situation and the vision for this organization. Yeah, it's great to acknowledge what we've been able to accomplish to this point, but also be on the same page for where we see it moving forward. And that was an important piece. To Brandon and his staff, each and every coach, head coach in the league would tell you that to be a good coach is one thing. To have a good staff is one thing, but to have opportunity to work with a general manager that knows what he's doing and is at the top of his game and being fed players that we can then mold and develop as coaches, it goes without saying, but that's a critical piece of what we've done here and what we'll continue to do, and Brandon has had a big hand in that.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Be right there.
I just needed like 60 more seconds. That's all. One of those days from behind by 60 seconds. But I'll get caught up.
I mean, I could mention things. When you said be right there, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to wait or
No, you're good. I'm just trying to finish headlines, grab my headphones, the usual last second jam it all.
I'm watching the Spanish Grand Prix practice round right now.
Oh, is that? Hang on.
It is on live.
Let me get my.
So we got some F1 practice, which I don't know how to watch practice. We're talking about
practice. I need Carlos Sainz to do. We're talking about. Okay, sorry. Practice.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Happy Friday.
Amen, bro.
Chill in the air.
Yeah, 60s.
Weekend on the way.
Yay. Nice weekend. Think I'll get a little pool time in.
Good.
Maybe just hang out in the back deck, listen to some tunes, and down a little cake vodka. Just relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposed to be in the 80s.
Well, and there's only 3 weekends left in the month of August. Here's my question for you, Mr. Hashtag Fall Elite. Are there 3 weekends left in summer, or do you throw in the Labor Day weekend, which is late this year? It is like September
5th? 7th.
So that weekend is the 5th, 6th. So is that still a weekend of summer? So would you have 4 weekends left in summer, or 3 if you cut it off at the end of August?
Fall starts on Labor Day.
Okay, so we have 4 more weekends left in the summer.
Yep.
Okay, 3 after this. Mm-hmm. I just have to have this for my planning purposes mentally to get myself adjusted.
So you can enter the best season or a great season. Real quick, though, stick taps or hat tips to summer. Summer's got – this may be the best summer.
Great summer.
For – a lot of reasons, the weather, but also, you know, the sports. One of the reasons I like fall better than summer is the sports.
Yeah.
Right now, we do not normally have hockey and NBA and, well, you know, we have baseball.
Major, but it's not a baseball season. Yeah, it's a shortened baseball season.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, fall's going to take some hits with no college football, but it's also getting the Masters. I mean, you know, every time we have this conversation, there are some people that like to think that it's only about the weather and it's about everything.
You know, we're about a third of the way through the baseball season already.
It's
right, they're
fast.
At around the I think they're around the 20 game mark this weekend.
Unless, of course, you're a Cardinals fan, in which case hasn't really started.
You played 5 games so far.
Yeah,
thanks for hanging out, folks.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's I thought about that last night. I actually I watched the first Hard Knocks, the LA Hard Knocks. I saw a note yesterday that the first episode had like really low ratings. And I thought, well, yeah, there's lots of games going on which don't normally happen at this point. And we went 4.5 months without actual live games. Who's watching Hard Knocks? I mean, that's on demand, baby. Give me live sporting events. And I got caught up on that last night. But yeah, yesterday was one of those days where, again, I mean, my TV set has been on almost continuously throughout the course of the day. Even if I'm sitting at the computer and I'm doing work, there's a hockey game on. There's some kind of game on, at the very least as a backdrop. If I'm not sitting in my comfy chair taking notes and paying close attention, it is on as a backdrop as I'm doing stuff throughout the course of the day, because there's always a hockey game on. Mm-hmm. Thanks to their schedule.
It is nice, right?
So, you know, a little bit of Columbus, Tampa, and then what would it have been? Vegas. Yeah, I conked out early in Boston, Carolina. But it is nice. It's nice knowing. And then NBA playoffs start Monday, and it's the same schedule. I think there are four games on Monday starting at 1 o'clock. So you've got basketball afternoon, basketball evening. It's great.
Yeah, it's a quadruple header to open the playoffs.
Fantastic.
And the Blazers last night earned a spot in the play-in game in an epic 134-133 win over the Nets.
Felt bad for the Suns. I have not been tracking the standings in the West, but I knew the Suns were like racing through the bubble. They went 8-0. They still didn't make the playoffs. They didn't make the play-in. They're done. Their season's over, even though they went 8-0 in the bubble.
Feels like you shouldn't have been in the bubble if you can go 8-0 and not make it.
I'm looking at that going, how did they not make the play-in? And I guess they tied for the ninth spot, but must have lost out on a tiebreaker. I don't know. So they're not in. Their season's over. And notable, the Spurs' 22-year playoff streak came to an end.
Yeah.
They're not in.
They were not in the playoffs. Were they playing games that would have gotten them into the playoffs?
They were playing to try and get into the play-in. They were eliminated. I believe they were eliminated from the play-in. It's Portland and Memphis in the play-in.
This is what makes it different from the NHL, because like Phoenix, your wins and losses, while they did matter to get you in, it wasn't elimination games themselves.
No.
Right.
These, because how they refer to them, were they seeding games? I believe they called this portion of the schedule.
No, couldn't have been seeding.
It
could have been seeding if
for
you were talking about like
maybe
8, 9, 10 seed. Like the regular season is a bunch of seeding games, technically.
Yeah.
They were continuing play to get to the top 8 seeds. It wasn't like the qualifying round in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So that is different. And I feel like we don't have to make that any sort of, you know, there's no weird language we have to use.
It's good that they're at the playoffs, because there was an element of, what game do we have? My mother-in-law is a huge NBA fan. She's always got basketball games on. So we were watching Dallas and Phoenix, and clearly Dallas was locked. Everybody was locked in except for the bottom teams in the West. Dallas had no desire to play in that game. I don't think they played Porzingis. They pulled Doncic early, and somewhere in the third quarter, they're down by like 25 points, and they're just mailing it in. They don't want to play. They don't want to be there. I felt bad for the announcers. Like, what the hell do we talk about? That game was just, okay, what do you say you get to the postseason, boys? Because they did. It was like almost like a round-robin NHL game. Although Phoenix was still playing for something in theory. Dallas wasn't. But yeah, so now you got all the NHL playoff games. I've got to pick out which NBA. I got to look at all the series and figure out which either series or players I want to lock in on, so I know what I'm doing. And then of course, and the Mets. By the way, if you check the standings, Jeremy, what's today? August. What is today? The 14th. The Mets right now are in the playoffs.
Oh, congratulations!
I didn't realize that someone tweeted it out last night. Despite everything that's gone wrong, they would be in the playoffs right now, thanks to like almost every team in the Major League Baseball is making the playoffs this year.
All right.
So yeah,
well, good.
It's good. So that's gotta. And of course, the Bisons, the Jays are at Salem Field all weekend. Not that you can see them, but they're playing Tampa this weekend, which should be a really challenging series for them. So yeah, there's plenty on the docket, and there's an F1 race Sunday, and the PGA event.
Yeah, the Wyndham. Busy, busy weekend.
And the MLS apparently is playing with fans now, or maybe some of their franchises are playing?
Okay. Yeah, some fans. Dallas had fans because they threw things at players that knelt.
Oh, that's what that was about. Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's right. That was in Texas. Gee, there's a surprise.
They booed and threw things.
Yeah.
Which should be the number one thing. As soon as that happens, you should not be allowed to have fans.
Yeah, right? That was just crazy. That's okay, now that all makes sense, because I saw one of the guys from the Dallas team on SportsCenter the other day, and it just didn't register that they were getting booed. If they were getting booed, that meant there were fans in the stadium. Okay, thank you.
It is one of the things that, you know, as we've talked about all these games that have had, you know, what's it like for a game with no fans? The precedent for that is European soccer, when they don't have fans in the stands, and it's often because of racist abuse.
Yeah.
Like they'll just, all right, you're not allowed to have fans anymore because somebody did this to a player, this player was heckled, so guess what? This team can't have fans for, you know, a month.
Yeah, what, throwing things and booing? Yikes. Yeah. Welcome back to sports, everybody. Nice to have you in the stadium. Thanks for coming. Right. Please leave. So we got that, and you know, we would have had preseason football this weekend and mass. This would have been the first full weekend for everybody to get a game in. Of course, that's not going to happen, but I don't know that anybody's going to be too upset over the lack of preseason football games in light of everything else that's on television for you to watch.
Yeah.
As we steam our way towards the football season, it's I'm enjoying what's left of August, and I anticipate it is kind of tough that. It's been a fantastic summer, just gorgeous. The only thing, that, you know, I was going to say the only person would complain, but it's not a person. I guess the only thing that would be complained would be, you know, lawns because they're dead. but it's tough because I want to be outside enjoying the weather, but there's so many games on TV that I spent last weekend indoors. And I'll probably spend most of this weekend indoors, even though it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous summer. Got to see all the games.
Oh, you're staying in to watch games?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I have been. Yeah, I know. I might revisit that this weekend. That's why I was in my head doing the countdown. And typically when we get, I think about pool weather, right, Jeremy? So when we get to this point in August, it starts getting cool enough at night that, you know, the pool temperature starts to drop a little bit. But still at 82. So I got to get in this weekend. I just got to figure out the balance. It's really hard to drag myself away from the television when there's so many games on to watch.
Yeah.
Tonight, and by the way, DeGrom's pitching tonight, Met fans, so you got that too. So add that to your list, DeGrom against the Phillies tonight.
And you also have to watch your phone relentlessly to see if they sign any new contract extensions.
Yeah.
I got a question about this. Are the Bills doing the thing that everyone that was able to or hoped to, are they getting their house projects done during the quarantine? That's what this is, right?
Yeah,
everybody's getting
like
extensions?
It. Yeah, they're trying to get, I think, as much done as they can now.
And it makes me wonder if players, and to be honest, any employee, let's say you're Sean McDermott or Deion Dawkins or anybody, if your employer comes to you and says, hey, just wondering if you'd like guaranteed money for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Are you more likely right now to say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You know, yes, let's do that because, you know, there's a little bit of uncertainty about salary cap and this and that. And, you know, when they talk about the cap has to go down, every player in the league might think, well, I got to get on the books as soon as possible for my money.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's kind of, you know, greasing these contract extensions, whether that's George Kittle, you know, just it could help.
It was pointed out, though, and we're going to have Michael Jannetty is going to be on with us at 9 o'clock this morning from SpotTrack because I wanted to talk about the Bills cap, where they are, the Dawkins contract, what about Milano, what about Trey White, projections, all these different things. But it is interesting that I looked at it and thought, okay, this is really going to be a challenge for general managers around the NFL. Revenues are going to be down no matter what. The question is, how much? We are not going to have a season, of course, where there's 100% fan capacity in the stadiums. There might be some fans, but there's no way we're going to have full stadiums. So in some way, shape, form, there will be a drop in revenue. So how does that affect the cap? But in this offseason, Kansas City's been doling out Brinks trucks, you know, for Mahomes and what, Chris Jones and now Travis Kelce. The Bills just paid Dawkins. Whatchamacallit? San Francisco paid Kittle. I mean, there have been some big contracts. So clearly teams must know or, you know, have found a way to make it all work, even though there's going to be some unknown drop in the salary cap next year. And I know
they always
spread
had
it
the
over
money
a few years, but yeah, they're, it's not prohibiting teams from making moves to lock players up, which is a good thing.
It's also, you know, when we talk about the losses that they're going to suffer, there are losses and then there are losses. There's the loss where you have money and you lose it, and then there's the loss of you don't make what you expected to make, which is what their losses are. They're not going to make what they thought. They make, hypothetically, $5 billion a year. If this year they make $3 billion, they talk about that as $2 billion in lost revenue.
Yeah.
Even though they made three, mm-hmm. it's two that's lost because they lost money they expected to make.
Yeah.
And I get that. That's one way to lose money. The other is to actually have it and lose it because you got, what, fined or who knows. I don't know. You know, there are ways to lose money.
Yeah, but it all goes into their formula, though, I mean, with the cap, with revenue and salary cap. And I know, I think it's going to be spread out over a few years, so maybe it's much ado about nothing. The good news is the Bills are in good shape. Even with a possible drop in the salary cap, it sounds like, just emailing back and forth with Michael Jannetty last night, that the Bills are one of the teams still in very good shape, no matter what happens with the salary cap next year. They have space on the books now. Whatever they don't use, they can roll over into next year. So even if the cap drops, it appears they are well within their abilities to get an extension with Trey White done, if both sides agree to that, an extension with Matt Milano. I mean, those are the two big names. Josh Allen would be a fifth-year option down the road. So the two big next names, now that Dawkins is done, really, I think it's Milano, and then it's Trey White after that, because at least with Trey, you had the fifth-year option. With Milano, he's free after this season. They can make it all fit.
They can. I really think they're going to – I don't know that Milano will.
I'm not sure. But they do have the room to get it done if they want to. I don't know if they will either. I'm not sure. The good news is, if you look at their breakdown, so Milano and White are the two key ones. And then after the next season, like a couple years down the road, like Micah Hyde's contract is up, John Brown, Jerry Hughes. So there are a few guys a couple years down the road. And as I said, you'll have to – have the Josh Allen fifth-year option factored in. But it does appear that the whole thing of draft, develop, sign our own, they're in position to keep those guys if they feel they're of value and they want to hand out the contract. Clearly, they prioritized Deion Dawkins. He's done. And they didn't want to mess with the offensive line. We've heard time after time after time the GM and the head coach talk about building teams up front. Well, they wanted to keep their left tackle piece, and they got it done at, I think, what people would say was about expected in terms of his average annual value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice deal, and it's nice to have it out of the way. And then it's up to them to decide, what do you want to do about Milano? If not, do you have an answer there going forward, whether it's a draft or somebody on the depth chart right now? Trey's not going anywhere. We know that. I'm sure I would assume they're going to pick up the Josh Allen contract or the fifth-year option. So really, Milano is the big decision in the next couple years.
Yeah, and with Trey White, I think not only is he, you know, you should feel pretty confident he's going to be here, he's definitely taken notice of every single player that's gotten an extension, because he's got a quick tweet about it. Yeah. So it sure seems like he is motivated to sign, maybe for the same reasons, you know, we just mentioned, which is pandemic related, a dip in the cap. Let's get me on the books while we can. The Kittle thing is interesting, because what Trey might want to do is what Kittle did, which is, this position's flat out underpaid. I'm going to go way above everybody,
mm-hmm.
because the position is underpaid at the very top. You know, you've got defensive ends making a lot more than corners. And for Kittle, he was, I'm trying to think who I saw it earlier, who the second highest paid tight end was, but Kittle went by him by like 50%.
Was it? It wasn't Ertz, was it? I'd have to look.
Might
it
have
up.
Been, but he's going, you know, to go to 15 per year average annual value is to not just, oh, I'm now number one tight end. It's nobody's a close two.
Yeah.
And Kittle also, I saw a funny stat about how, you know, he's more than a receiver. He's also a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of paid like a second receiver weapon, but he's also paid like an offensive lineman. He got more guaranteed money than all but six offensive linemen in league history.
Is Hunter Henry, by the way, I think.
Hunter Henry's the second highest.
I think he's at like 10 something.
Yeah.
So then Kittle passed him by five. And now Travis Kelce passed him, too.
Yeah. So there you go. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's what Trey White is trying to do, is not to be number one by a million, but to kind of reset that cornerback market and say, this is what this position is worth.
But like you
and
said,
we'll
though,
see.
With Kittle, like you said, it's interesting. Somebody had the stat. I'm trying to remember the exact number. Kittle, okay, so he's the number one. He's the top paid tight end. It's not even close. Because Kelce's extension is an average of what? Well, I wouldn't. Actually, Kelce got 14. Kittle's at 15. He's number one. But it blows away what Hunter Henry got. But Kittle is now like the 15th highest paid wide receiver. Like his salary, if you pushed it into the wide receiver group, I don't think he made top 10. I want to say I heard it was around 15. And we've heard this argument before, right? I'm trying to remember who it was. I thought
Jimmy Graham.
Was he the guy who said, yes, why can't I get paid receiver money? You're right. So Kittle is a tight end, but he's a receiver. He's an offensive lineman on a team that loves to run the ball. He's an important part of that with his blocking. He's a stud playmaker in the passing game. So, yeah, he got paid more than your typical tight end would get paid. I kept thinking about Dawson Knox when I saw this stuff yesterday. Not that, obviously, he's not George Kittle or Travis Kelce, but I was like, does Knox look at that? Does any tight end in the league look at that and go, man, if I hit it big? But, yeah, I think Trey White wants to reset the market. And he wants to – cornerback salaries have gone up, but I don't think you'll find a GM who will tell you a cornerback is more important than your stud edge rusher. My guess is he's going to try and close the gap in those two areas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what the average linebacker salaries are. I would think typically – I don't even know. Does the middle linebacker typically get most of the linebacker positions? So, yeah, I would think if you're Trey – you know, you're going to want to top Gilmore. You're going to want to be the number one paid cornerback in the league. Although Jalen Ramsey is waiting for a contract extension too. But if you're Trey White, you want to be one or two, and you're probably trying to bring up the overall value of corners on your whole defensive salary cap chart and say, we need to be paid right up there with the best players on that side of the ball.
This is what happens. The Bills have earned this this growing expectation. Now, Dawkins has higher expectations, right?
Yeah, good for
and
him.
And Trey White will have higher expectations. It's kind of like the best example of how money affects expectation is Mario Williams. Because when Mario didn't make an impact in his first game, he was the $100 million man, was, you know, a ghost. And on and on. Anytime anybody got mad at him, it'd be the $100 million man. Granted, he only got about 50, right? And he was awesome. But that contract kind of skewed the opinions of some. So if Trey White gets that big contract extension, which we think he will, and then gives up the touchdowns that he gave up to A.J. Green in his rookie season, it'll be, wow, you know, Mr. $20 million corner all of a sudden took a couple plays off.
It won't be touchdowns. He could give up three catches in that aren't touchdowns.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
And people will tweet and say, "Hey, what are you doing giving up plays?"
Let's be honest. If he has the first half, the second half he had against Houston with a big contract, even though he was in great position on all those plays and perfect throws and perfect catches from Watson and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Like, right? But the standard gets raised and the microscope gets zoomed in more, or the spotlight gets brighter, or whatever metaphor you want to use. But yeah, that big money means that you're just that much more attention is paid to you. Think about what Dak Prescott, we've mentioned him a lot this offseason. Dak Prescott is up and down. Is he good enough? Is he not? Because he's about to be paid about $40 million.
Yeah.
And things are different when you go from fourth round pick to $40 million. It's another point I saw about Kittle, which I thought was interesting. So Kittle, he's drafted. He's a low draft pick, right? Fifth round, I think, George Kittle.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it?
A fifth round pick in the 2017 draft.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about negotiating with a player, here's Kittle, who's on an entry-level fifth round pick contract. So when you go to him and say, hey, how's 5 years, 75 sound? Okay.
Right? I don't know. Let me get back to you.
A first-round pick has seen, by the time you're in your fifth year, $15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Close to that, if you're at the top of the first round.
Yeah, the option year, right.
What has George Kittle made in his first 3 years, right? Nothing close to this.
Yeah.
So it's interesting like that. There's also, I think about the book Moneyball. I'm kind of just off on a lot of tangents here about contracts and negotiations. But one of the things the A's did in Moneyball was they would overdraft a kid because they liked him and they knew that meant more money. And then that kid would be really happy to have been drafted higher and make more money. And it led to fewer holdouts and fewer issues with signing your prospects. You know, like all these kind of things can work in. And for the Bills, you know, like, paying the people that they use as they hold up as examples of come here, work hard, do well, you'll get paid. Like that motivates guys underneath.
Yeah.
And well, now we'll see what happens once they are paid, how the expectations can change.
And it does, right, because it does, and you can throw the coach in this discussion too, but it does bring more of a spotlight. It brings along with it scrutiny. Marshall Darius got a monster contract.
And it all changed.
And it blew up. Right, and you better keep getting me 10 sacks a year from inside, and B, show up for meetings on time and behave yourself.
Yeah.
And if
you don't, also got suspended, and that changed it.
Yep.
Ryan O'Reilly got a huge contract and then got in trouble with the law right away, and, you know, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Look, Skinner has to score 60 goals every season for some people. I mean, it's really – but McDermott, too. I mean, I think you brought this up on yesterday's show. You know, if you listen to the Zoom call yesterday, Sean McDermott talked time after time after time. A lot of his answers were, yeah, this is nice, but our work is far from done. We're here to win championships. We're not here to just, you know, bring stability to the franchise and not be ridiculed by the rest of the league. It wasn't about just earning respect. We're trying to win games and win a title. Right. And so McDermott, which is a great story to this point, it's warm, it's fuzzy. Everybody loves McDermott. Everybody loves Bean. Now you got to win playoff games. Now the level goes up on everybody. If Dawkins gives up two sacks in a game, people are going to be calling the post-game show wondering what the hell's going wrong with Deion Dawkins. Why'd you give him big money? Well, it's the same thing for the head coach. You know, it won't be just enough to sneak in a wild card spot or something. He's got it. They have to. He has to start winning playoff games. There will be a lot more scrutiny on every fourth down call and his game management. But the idea of winning a division and winning football games in the postseason, like after they lost to Houston, yeah, I was upset because they had blown a lead. I really thought they were going to win the game. But I wasn't like, this is unacceptable. It's a failure of a season. We made the playoffs for two times in 3 years. This is really cool. Feeling good about the direction of the franchise. Great. That's okay. That was nice. That was gone. And now McDermott, and I think McDermott knows that, Jeremy, that now that isn't acceptable. The pressure increases on everybody inside that building to now go to the next level and win postseason games. And we'll see how they handle all that stuff. The pressure increases on Bean, on the roster decisions and who to pay. And you always bring up, everybody knows, right? Everybody notices who gets paid. So the pressure's on him and the pressure's on the coach, because now you got to win in the postseason. You got to make it. That's the you know, you absolutely can't miss the playoffs this year. And then you got to win games in the postseason. That's the new bar. And it continues to go up.
Good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a good thing. I mean,
yeah, everybody should be happy about it.
It's been way too long since we have these discussions around here when it comes to the football team. It is a good thing. All this ties in. The contract extensions, who to keep, the head coach staying on, the bar being raised, win playoff games or bust. I mean, all that stuff hasn't happened in a quarter century around here. It's great that we're having these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have these discussions with the hockey team at some point before I go into the ground. 803-0550 to join us. It's Friday. 888-550-2550. Let's see. On the show today, Sal is going to be with us at 7 o'clock this morning. We do have the Deion Dawkins contract extension, some Zoom calls yesterday. Sean McDermott spoke to the media. Josh Allen spoke to the media. We'll talk about that. I mentioned Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack. We'll delve into cap issues with the Bills at 9 o'clock. And F1 fans, we have a race coming up on Sunday, and they're practicing right now. There's a surprise. Mercedes 1, Mercedes 2, Verstappen 3. Chris Medlin is going to join us, freelance F1 journalist, covers the sport for Racer. So he will be with us at 8:30 from, do we call it a track or do they call it a circuit?
I'm sure both are fine.
Is either one's acceptable? Because I don't want to be totally. So he's going to join us from the track.
A NASCAR track can be called a speedway, but you know, you can still call it the track.
Okay. He's going to join us from the track. And I know that because when we were setting up the interview, he was giving me certain time windows where there would be less noise from the cars going through practice runs. Ooh. So we could actually hear his response.
What if we want to hear the cars? Well, be a little closer to it.
Oh, okay. See, I did tell him we won't mind the noise in the background. It sounds good as long as you can hear us and we can hear you. But there will be car noise, apparently, when he's on with us later
good.
This morning. Maybe I think 8:30 he's on, and that's the end of a practice session. So that's all coming up. Now all we need is your phone calls. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I've been told for a long time by my dad, who was a coach, and the great coaches that I've been fortunate enough to be around, you're only as good as the people around you. And I think that's true. That includes everyone in our building and across the Pegula Sports Entertainment business. We just get a tremendous amount of support. I get a tremendous amount of support from each and every one of them, and it's much appreciated.
That is Sean McDermott with some of his comments from his Zoom call with the media yesterday. If you missed it, you'd miss it, Howard. Anyway, if you want to hear it, you know where to go. On demand audio, WGR550.com. We got the McDermott call. We got the Deion Dawkins call. We have the Josh Allen call. And all that in on demand audio, which, of course, is brought to you by Northwest, increasing the value of you, by the way, in case you were wondering. Headline.
Did you know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Headline, George Kittle, contract extension. Mm-hmm. He has the most yards in a single season of any tight end. Did you know that?
I did, yes, kind of. I remember 1377. That. I remember the game when it happened, but
no, yards in a season. Sorry, not a game.
Well, they would have broke it. Yeah, I remember when he broke the record. I'm like, hey, that's a new record for tight ends. But I just
if he got all 1300 in one game, I did not see that.
Well, they targeted him a lot that day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they decided, you know, we really like the Kittle versus that defense matchup. So let's throw 80 times to him and see if he can get 1,300 yards or whatever his catches were from last season. Deion Dawkins isn't going anywhere. He would have been an unrestricted free agent after the upcoming season, but yesterday the Bills announced they reached a contract extension with their left tackle, 4 years for $60 million. Jeremy mentioned George Kittle. He's now the highest paid tight end in the NFL. He gets a 5-year extension, $75 million. Shortly after that, the Chiefs announced an extension for Travis Kelce, 4 years, $57 million.
More George Kittle trivia. What's his career high in touchdowns in a season?
7.
5.
College? Remember where he played his college ball?
Iowa.
Yes.
I only remember that because it was this draft that Iowa became tight end U.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Fant and
Hockenson,
the other guy.
Right?
Hockenson, but there were two guys that this year. It was Fant and another guy from Iowa, and Hockenson and Kittle. And there's another one, too.
I think there was an older tight end, too. Maybe, I'm not even sure if he's in the league still. But anyway, tight end.
Tim Dwight. That's who I'm thinking of. Tim Dwight. You don't remember Tim
no,
Dwight?
No, I do not. Who's Tim Dwight?
Tim Dwight was a speedy little receiver. Yeah, kick returner. He played for the Patriots. What? Tiny little. I say like tiny little guy. He's probably like, 5'10".
Yeah.
Which is not tiny unless you're in the NFL.
Yeah. Tim Dwight. Okay. No, I do not recall a Tim Dwight right now. What else? Hockey playoffs.
I don't remember Tim Dwight. Brayden, do you remember Tim Dwight?
Tim Dwight.
Who's Tim Dwight?
When, like what era? Wow. Like recently playing?
I was alive.
Okay, well that's good, a good thing. I just don't have any, his name is not
Tim
in my
Dwight
brain.
Tim Dwight played in the early 2000s in the NFL. He played for...
It's too long ago.
At some point he played for the Patriots, I want to say.
Tim Dwight.
Should Howard remember Tim Dwight?
No. Did he have, I take it he had a fairly nondescript career?
I mean, he was a unique player. He was a Kick returner, speedy, small receiver. 116 games with the Chargers, the Falcons, the Patriots, Jets, and Raiders. I mean, he was on two teams that played the Bills.
Nah, I got nothing.
But like I said, did he ever catch a touchdown against the Bills? You asked.
Are you tweeting at Elias as we speak? Or
no, I'm at Pro Football Reference. Did he ever score against the Bills?
They have his splits by team? By opponent?
He had 9 catches for 123 yards in 5 games against the Bills, and Tim Dwight teams went 4-1 against the Bills.
They just couldn't
That was a Bill killer.
They couldn't figure out how to beat Tim Dwight teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kick returns.
I should remember that.
He might have done that, too. I should check out his kick returns.
Hockey playoffs, Columbus beat Tampa, Carolina beat Boston, Dallas over Calgary. All of those series are now tied at 1 win apiece. Vegas has a 2-0 series lead over Chicago after a 4-3 overtime win. Montreal coach Claude Julien was taken to a hospital in Toronto yesterday with chest pains. He will not be coaching the rest of this series for the Canadiens. Kirk Muller will take over behind the bench. Nicholas Backstrom from the Capitals will miss game 2 of their series against the Islanders due to a concussion. Isn't it just unfit to play, or can you actually say a concussion? Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nats. The Jays open a series with Tampa at Salem Field tonight. Tanner Roark and Trevor Richards, your matchup, 6:37 first pitch. Good news, Cardinals fans, you're playing baseball again, we think. They're expected to resume their season tomorrow against the White Sox. It would be their first game since July 29th. The NBA Western Conference play-in matchup is set. Tomorrow it's Portland versus Memphis. The winner will take on the Lakers. And the NCAA canceled fall sports championships. That does not factor into football. So soccer, volleyball, whatever other championships or sports are played in the fall, those have been canceled by the NCAA.
It was Hockenson and Fant in the same year. Also tight ends from Kittle, but Tony Moiaki, former Bill.
Yeah.
Right? He was here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, briefly. Former chief, I think.
Dallas Clark.
That's one of the guys I was trying to think of.
That's the guy?
Yeah.
And there's a couple more, so, yeah. Tight end you, or close to it.
Headlines brought to you by, Buffalo Materials Handling. When you need to lift it, move it, or service it, they'll help you handle it. BMH, more than just forklifts.
Do you know who, I'm thinking of random players, Tim Dwight. Who was Tim Dwight? Tim Dwight is, anyway, he had 8 punt returns against the Bills. Next question I had for you. Oh, I'm putting together some tight end trivia, so give me a minute on that.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates is a right answer on some of these trivia questions.
Look at that. I don't even know the question, and I'm getting right answers already. Knock them down, baby. There was a funny moment in I can't remember who the guy was in Hard Knocks last night. Antonio Gates is in my head. Brayton, did you see the Hard Knocks? You didn't, right? And Jeremy, you didn't. Man, you guys are killing me because you're supposed to be there for all these memory moments that I have when I can't remember
stuff. But even if we had seen it, you haven't indicated what you might be talking about yet.
Oh, would that help the discussion a little bit, do you think?
guessing.
You mean you can't read my mind from home?
Liev Schreiber said something? Like, what? What happened?
By the way, any documentary with Liev Schreiber is well worth watching. No, I think there was a scene, you know, they were doing cuts already. You know, typically you don't have that, but since they were getting down to 80, they were doing cuts. So I think this is where the Gates thing came in. I think there was a kid who came in and he was like really angry. Like he got cut and he is like cursing and yelling at Anthony Lynn. Like, this is BS. He is like really angry. And I think that's the kid. At one point, he was complaining about this and that. And I think the coach said, like, who are you, Antonio Gates? This kid's not Antonio Gates. But I like the fact that he's got fire and he's all angry we cut him. But it's not like he's Antonio Gates. So anyway, that's why Antonio Gates was in my head for your trivia question this morning.
Okay.
And Hard Knocks. You know me, I'm a wuss. Not surprisingly, there wasn't much football on Hard Knocks because they're doing walkthroughs. So a lot of the show was about the protocols and the COVID and all the things they're doing, how the facilities are set up. It was kind of interesting to see that, how both teams were dealing with spacing in the locker rooms, the extra space for more lockers, the cleaning that gets done every day. And then they showed the guys getting the actual nasal swab, which I really have no desire to see. So I fast-forwarded through those scenes because I understand it's like 3 or 4 seconds of discomfort. So they did show that for both teams, but I kind of went through that. So it was kind of a I'll be honest with you, it was a boring episode, but then again, there's really no football going on. It's walkthroughs, so there's not a heck of a lot you can do.
So, quick question for you about baseball.
I've heard of that sport.
We've seen some players wear masks and some not wear masks. Maybe there's a really good reason to wear a mask, and it has nothing to do with the virus. I mean, yes, you should wear one, but anyway, moving along. You can yell things at the umpire from the dugout, and he doesn't know which one of you it was.
Yeah, well, okay, are you talking about the Strasburg thing?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I saw the clip.
So Strasburg got tossed
yes.
in a game that he wasn't pitching in.
Correct.
And he got ejected from the stands
Correct.
On his day off.
Correct.
This is very reminiscent of the movie Friday. How are you going to get fired on your day off? How do you get ejected on your day off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and the great thing was is you could actually hear over the telecast live, like the Mets guys, Gary Cohn and those guys, oops, sorry about that. Like, they apologized on SNY because there are no fans. So they were arguing balls and strikes, which you know you're not supposed to do in Major League Baseball.
Strasburg was, from the stands?
Well, the bench, I mean, everybody, they were unhappy. The manager, a couple guys on the bench. So the umpire turns and looks towards the Nats dugout and thumbs a guy. So the SNY guys are going, well, is it Dave Martinez? Is it somebody? Maybe it's the hitting coach. Usually if it's not the manager, it's the pitching coach. And then all of a sudden they show the stands. And actually, you hear, that's bleeping brutal. And then they show the stands, and there's a guy getting up to walk. They're like, oh, that's Strasburg. And here he is, and he's just hanging out in shorts and a short-sleeve shirt with his mask on. And he gets up and starts walking up the stands, heading for the exit way. They're like, hey, they tossed Strasburg. The umpire kept pointing like he wasn't – like the dugout's like, who, me? Who? Was it me? And he's pointing like up in the air like to show those guys, no. It's in the stands. It's above you. And eventually Strasburg gets in a bleeping brutal comment, turns, and walks out of the stadium. It's hilarious. I've never seen a player ejected from the stands in the stadium during a baseball game.
Very strange.
Very strange. Very funny, too. Very funny.
I'm putting up a Twitter poll about whether or not you should know who Tim Dwight is. He had a Super Bowl return.
Man, I do not. I'm trying to think of.
He returned a kickoff in the Super Bowl.
Yep, still not helping.
For a touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, for a touchdown?
For a touchdown.
Yep, still not helping. Was that one of the 8 million Patriots Super Bowls, I take it?
No.
It was maybe
Falcons,
like,
Broncos.
I wouldn't have known.
Oh, was that? The John Elway spin was against Green Bay.
Yeah, it was the second
Falcons
Super Bowl
Broncos,
he won.
The Dirty
His
Bird
final
team.
Super Bowl.
That was the Dirty Bird Broncos team in Miami.
I was going to say it was probably one of those boring games like the Giants Ravens game back in 2000.
That was a snooze fest.
That was bad.
That really was a snoozer.
Not as bad as the Rams Patriots Super Bowl.
That was a snoozer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rams Patriots was a bad game until the end. I mean, it was bad, but it was such an upset that, that made it a little bit exciting. The worst, there have been some bad ones. Rams-Titans was a terrible Super Bowl until the end.
Until the very last play of the game.
Until, like, the last...
The drive.
Ten minutes.
Right.
It got exciting, but it was terrible at the start.
Yeah.
Rams-Patriots. Oh, I'm sorry, Brayton. You meant the most recent Rams-Patriots.
Yes.
Yeah, last 2 years ago.
No,
I thought you meant Kurt Warner Rams.
No.
Yeah, 10-3,
no,
6,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. This one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
The worst game I've ever watched.
I'm voting in the
really
poll.
Really bad.
Hang on. I just want to click on vote. Yeah, I'm voting in your poll. I love that poll.
Should Howard remember Tim Dwight?
You know which option I voted for.
Who is Tim Dwight?
Absolutely. That's what I clicked on.
That's what I voted for.
Yes? No? Who is Tim Dwight? Who's All Dennis right. Chalowski? Like, should I know Tim Dwight better than I should? Yeah, I guess I should remember
yes,
him more than Dennis
should.
Chalowski.
He played 127 NFL games.
We're going to have to get him on the show now, and I'll have to ask him to tell me all about his career, because clearly I don't remember Tim Dwight at all.
Dennis Chalowski in his career has played in 88 NHL games to this point.
But he plays for an irrelevant franchise right now.
And historically,
88 NHL games is not 127 NFL games. 88 NHL games is a year. 127 NFL games is 10.
With a kick return in the Super Bowl, apparently,
yes.
That I don't recall. Sorry, Tim.
Well, now at least, Howard, you will always remember who Tim
Dwight
was.
Now I do.
And you'll always remember who Dennis Chalowski was.
I bet if we bring up Tim Dwight on Monday, he doesn't remember this conversation.
50-50, flip a coin. It's entirely possible. You never know. The mind is... The mind is disintegrating every day at this point. 803-0550 to join us.
Kyle tweets in about Tim Dwight. I love Tim Dwight. He was so fast in Madden. He won me a lot of games having him returning.
That's part of the problem.
I had his jersey made. All right, Kyle, we'll see it on Sports Jersey Saturday tomorrow, huh? See that Tim Dwight jersey?
I was not a regular Madden player. I feel like that's part of the problem. If you played video games on a regular basis, you probably remember more guys than you would games on TV.
That's probably true.
And I didn't play on a regular basis.
Pre-Sunday Ticket era, yes, that was a great way to learn the league.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's my excuse, one of my many excuses. And I'm good at that. 803-0550 to join us this morning, Sal, coming up at 7 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, can I do, what was it? Is it tip of the cap or stick tap? What did you, what are we going with? You want to like point something out that someone did that was cool?
Yeah.
Your one of your favorite social media accounts was on their game again yesterday.
The Carolina Hurricanes.
Carolina Hurricanes tweeted out a picture of a check written out to the National Hockey League in the amount of $25,017, whatever the heck it was.
Yep.
And in Rod We Trust. For the fine that he got for logically pointing out the NHL officials had no idea what they were doing on one of the plays the other night in their game against the Boston Bruins. And the Canes tweeted out a picture of the sign check with their owner, Tom Dundon, and the amount of money they were paying the NHL for the fine in Rod We Trust. That's very funny. That's cute. I like that. Like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Job well done.
I have tight end-based instant trivia for you. I'll let you guys pick your instant trivia. Ready?
Antonio Gates.
Is not a correct answer on this, actually. Sorry.
Shoot.
You can pick. Mm. It's either Bills trivia or tight end trivia. Here are the categories. So, George Kittle has the number one spot in receiving yards per game in a season for tight ends. There are 7 tight ends that had 75 yards or more per game in a season. The 7 individuals, because some did it more than once, who were the best receiving tight ends yards per game.
Okay.
You can have that, or the Bills wide receivers that have done that.
It's
a little bit of a commentary on the Bills receivers and passing in the Bills franchise history, because the number of tight ends that have done this in NFL history is equal to the number of Bills that have done
seven? It. Seven receivers for the Bills is all yards per
game? Seven.
Sal's here if he wants
7
to,
Bills receivers have gone for 75 yards per game in a season.
Okay, I'm good with either one. Doesn't matter. Whatever you guys want to do is fine with me. I'm already writing down nominees for both.
Let's go tight ends.
You want tight ends? Okay.
Do the tight ends. Okay, the 7 men to have had 75 yards plus, 75 per game in a season at tight end. Kittle, of course, I gave you. We're doing this because Kittle signed, and he has the number one spot at 86 yards per game.
Six
left.
Are there any current guys on this list?
Yes.
Travis Kelce.
He is number 2 all-time in the yards per game in a single season. Yes.
Gronkowski.
Number 3. These guys make multiple appearances, but we're going
I'm
going to
say Jason Witten.
Not correct. No Jason Witten on this
I'll
list.
I'll go with Tony Gonzalez.
That's what I get for coming in early.
Tony Gonzalez. 6th.
Hi, Sal.
Never come in early.
So no on Antonio Gates, huh?
No on Antonio Gates.
How about,
there are three left.
Okay, how How about Jimmy Graham?
That is also correct.
Okay.
Now, from here, we go back in time a little bit. The next two answers are from the 80s, and the last two answers are from the 80s.
Well, then I tap
Kellen
out.
Winslow.
Ooh.
Kellen Winslow is correct.
Well played, Sal.
And then the last one is a guy.
That would be Kellen Winslow Sr., by the way, for a lot of people listening.
Yeah. The last one, 1983. 77.9 yards per game at the tight end position.
Ozzie Newsome.
No. I bet if I gave you the team, you could get it. This is going to be,
hold on.
For a lot of football fans, I think, like, oh, yeah, I remember him, I think. Because I kind of remember him. He played from 79 to 1988, primarily with one team.
Okay, so hold on.
Mark Bavaro.
That's
90s anyway.
Ditka.
It's not. It's too, Bavaro's later. I would guess him, but he, I think he was 90s, right? He wasn't in the 80s.
Right.
80s tight end. How about which conference?
Newsome,
AFC.
Winslow.
Okay. West.
Broncos,
AFC West.
Raiders,
here
Todd
you go.
Christensen.
That's right, Todd Christensen.
Oh, well, good job, Sal.
Former
NBC I feel like
broadcaster.
That's exactly the kind of name like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yes, I remember him. Yeah, sure. He played in
Speaking of which.
Todd Christensen was also the color commentator, I believe, for the comeback game. Was he not?
I was going to say he was on the end. Right. It was an NBC game, him and Charlie Jones, maybe, on that game, I believe.
Yep.
Sal, the subject of the show today is Tim Dwight. You have to remember Tim Dwight.
Say no, Sal.
Oh, yeah.
Say
bald
no.
Guy, smaller wide receiver who...
track star.
He was played for the Falcons. I think he came out of Iowa, maybe. He was like a really good college player.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Dwight Stones the track star? Not Tim Dwight? No, wasn't there? No?
All right, you're thinking of Dwight Schrute.
No, Dwight Stones. There's a track guy. Like he, I got to look this up. See, now I'm telling you, it was a Dwight Stones who was like an Olympic track. No? Hang on. Dwight Stones, right. Olympian, two-time Olympic bronze medalist.
I remember that name, too. Yeah.
In the high jump.
High jump, yeah. I believe.
But yeah, I remember Tim Dwight.
Because I think I would have either seen
Falcons
him in the Olympics.
Chargers, I believe.
Tim Dwight. See, I got to do some. I'll read up on Tim Dwight. I have no recollection of this guy at all whatsoever. Okay, Sal is coming up, and we'll talk about Deion Dawkins' contract extension, who's next for the Bills, and the Zoom calls yesterday with Sean McDermott and Deion and Josh Allen. It's all on the way. 803-0550 to join us on this lovely, sunny Friday morning on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.